When I was a teenager, I was raised in church. I have a wonderful, godly mom and dad, and they raised me in church, and I was in the youth ministry. Let me tell you, teenagers, you're not missing anything out in the world by being in church. We were on a youth trip, and this is back in the days in America before the independent Baptist churches got very sophisticated. Now the independent Baptist churches have beautiful travel buses. But back when I was a teenager, whatever bus we left the church in was not the same bus we came back to the church in. And somewhere on our trip, our bus broke down in Iowa. And so we were staying in a little church there while we were waiting for our bus to get fixed. And I was about 7th or 8th grade, and the boys were outside playing football. And after about 2 days of playing football, I decided to take a walk, and all around the church were cornfields. And so I was walking along and looking in the cornfields. And a best friend and I began to smell something. It was not Duron. How do you say it? Yes. But it smelled bad. We soon noticed that there was a cow that had gotten into the cornfield and it had died. And it was bloated up. Its legs were sticking up. Its tongue was hanging out. And my friend said, "That cow looks like it's going to pop." And I had an idea. And I said, "Let's pop it." And he said to me, "Have you ever popped a cow before?" "No, but there's a first time for everything." He said, "What do you think is going to happen?" I said, "I don't know. It could just make a big explosion. And there would be a loud boom, and then they would come to find us, and we would be laying in a big crater covered in cow guts." And so I found a stick, and he said, "Are you sure about this?" And I said, "I'm going to do it." I said, "Are you ready?" And he went, "Okay." And I really don't know why I did this, but I started sneaking up on a dead cow. And it was just laying there. And I thought in my mind that I would really have to hit it hard. But you don't have to hit it hard. As soon as I hit that cow with that stick, the skin just gave way. And there was a whooshing sound. And then... and hot, moist air hit me right in the face. And I do not have a weak stomach. But as soon as it went, I went, "Bruh!" And I turned around and my buddy went, "Ha ha, bruh!" And we were running away, "Ha ha, bruh!" When we got back to all the friends, they were saying, "What's that smell?" So balut was no problem. I want you to look in your Bibles today to Daniel chapter 3. It has been an honor to be here. When Pastor Chapel asked me to come to Asia, I did not know that I would speak. I thought I was just coming here to help with whatever needed to be accomplished. Mercy, there's not been much that needs to be accomplished with all the pastors who have worked together. I told Brother Naranjan this morning at breakfast, I said, one of the things that I've noticed in the Filipino pastors is a unity of heart and mind. And there's only one explanation for that, and that's the Spirit of God. And my prayer since I've been here has been that, Lord, break my heart, so I can go home to my church. We can see American churches and American pastors filled with the Spirit of God, so we can carry out the Great Commission and reach the world for Christ. I came here to just be a blessing to the conference, but my heart's been blessed, and to meet so many wonderful people, wonderful missionaries. It's just been amazing to me. Daniel chapter 3. Dr. Kim talked about these, and I'll try to give you the American pronunciation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want you to notice, if you will, in Daniel chapter 3, in verse number 1, that Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Here Nebuchadnezzar erects a massive idol, and it stands like a missile on the launching pad out on the plain. And Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And the Bible says in verse number 4, "Then an herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up.'" Notice that, all kinds of music. All kinds of music. "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." The Bible again says in verse 7 that all of these instruments begin to play and all kinds of music. And the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. "Wherefore, at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace.' There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee." Let me just call your attention very quickly to these three Hebrew children. And let me just give today a challenge by the Spirit of God, that we are called to stand. The Lord Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, told us, "Wherefore take the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand." Let me just say, weary missionary in the field, maybe in the mountains, maybe in the desert places, let me just call to your attention today and remind you that God has put you where He's put you to simply stand. To stand. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, "For I am persuaded." I am persuaded. That is a full dedication, a full consecration. "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let me tell you something. Paul was fully persuaded in his mind and in his soul. He was persuaded that wherever he was, whatever he was facing, whatever he must endure, that Paul, by all means, through Christ, would stand. He would stand. "And in all things, none of these things moved me." I want to give you three very quick things this morning. Number one, I want to say to every Christian, and many of you are already in amazing places in this world filled with spiritual warfare. Those of us from America are on the very edges of the overwhelming darkness that is filling our land. For many years we've had prosperity. For many years we had freedom to preach the gospel. But those days are shortening and the hour is hastening to nighttime. Darkness has crept into our land and Americans are finally waking up. Many of the churches and Christians are beginning to see that there's an urgency and there is a need, and night is about to come and Jesus is about to come and the days are growing shorter. But I want you to know something, Christian, listen to me. As the end gets closer, the days will get darker. I want you to know Jesus left us no mystery. He said these things will wax worse and worse. It's going to go from bad to worse. And when you think it can't get any worse, it will. But nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. There were three Hebrew children that were drawn out of their homeland and thrust into a wicked and idolatrous nation, a nation of prosperity, a nation of political power, a nation that longed to be a world power. And they were an idol-worshipping, man-worshipping, money-worshipping, education-worshipping nation. And they set them in the midst of that, and they tried to promote these men. They tried to corrupt these men. They tried to defile these men. But Daniel purposed in his heart he would not be defiled with the king's meat. And he set his face on Jesus, and he bent his knee and prayed three times a day as he did the fourth time. And Daniel stood for Christ, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood for God in a wicked land. Let me tell you something, Christian. The devil is trying to manipulate you. You know, Satan doesn't want casualties. He wants converts. Satan's main agenda is to get men to act independently of God. It doesn't matter if you're selling drugs. It doesn't matter if you're peddling prostitution. It doesn't matter if you're preaching in the pulpit. If you are doing it independent of God, you're working in the power of darkness. Jesus said, "For without me, you can do nothing." Satan is trying to manipulate us today. He's trying to move us from what we believe. Let me just tell you, with all this music that was in this story, one of the things that we're going to find how Satan works, he works through emotional enticement. First, they strike up the band and they play all kinds of music. Whatever kind of music will get you to march to the beat of their drum. It doesn't matter, whatever it takes, but they'll play on the emotions. Whether it's, we're going to go green and we're going to save the planet. Let me tell you something. We are not destroying this planet and the environment, nor can we. The Bible says that these things are reserved unto the day of judgment. We didn't make it, and we won't destroy it. One of these days, he who made it will come, and the heavens will melt away with a fervent heat, and the elements shall be destroyed. But the world today, we'll try to get us on any kind of emotional attachment. In America, our Supreme Court ruled in favor of same-sex marriage. There's the rainbow flags. There's this call for this unity. It's all emotional. It's all love wins. No, let me tell you, friend, Satan will try to play on your emotions to get you to march to the beat of his drum. And if that doesn't work, then he'll use social inducement. Pretty soon, they'll come to you and they'll say, "Don't you understand, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're the freak. Look at everybody else. Everyone else is doing it. Every other church is moving this way. Everybody else has gone to this new kind of worship. You're the only one still preaching from that book. You're the only one still soul winning. You're the only one still standing. You're the weirdo. You're the outcast. You're unusual. You're a freak." Well, let me tell you something, brother. We might be nuts, but we're screwed to the right bolt. They'll try to squeeze us in the pressure of social inducement. If you're going to stand for Christ, you'll go against the tide. If the emotional doesn't work and the social inducement doesn't work, then Satan will use something else. He'll use governmental enforcement. Then the kings and the princes and the provinces and the courts and the justices and the sheriffs will come, and they'll force us into their mold. And then you'll find nations that turned to communism and nations that went the way of governmental control. And they'll ban the Bible and burn the Bible. And they'll lock up the ministers in prison. But let me tell you something, brother. Listen to me. It doesn't matter. You cannot fall to the emotions. You cannot fall in tide with the society. And you cannot give way to the government. We ought to obey God rather than men. And God has called us to stand. But I'll tell you where I believe Satan is winning the battle with most Christians. It's not in the environmental or the emotional or the social or the governmental. Let me tell you where he's winning. He's winning it with spiritual defilement. Satan is wanting us to live for Christ in the power of our own flesh. To live in the flesh is to fail. To walk in the Spirit is to succeed. Satan is trying to get the church today to throw the doors open. And in America, it went from celebrating diversity and just getting along with everybody else. But now it is, if you don't believe what they believe, there's something wrong with you. We're accepting what everybody believes. Why? Because as the end gets closer, the days get darker. But let me tell you something. Number two, as the night gets darker, the saints must shine brighter. In verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Why were these men drawn out? Because they stood as bright and shining lights in contrast to the darkness of idol worship. Pressure to conform presents opportunities to stand. You know why Shadrach and Meshach were able to stand? I'll tell you why they could stand in those evil days. Number one, because they had a settled faith. They had already settled what they believed. My mind is made up. I am fixed and I am determined. Like the Apostle Paul, I am persuaded. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a settled faith. Listen to me, men. We serve a risen Savior, a sinless, spotless Lamb who shed His blood for our sins. He alone is God. He alone is worthy. He alone is the Savior. He put His Word in our hands. We have an inerrant, inspired, perfect Word of God. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. What we believe is true. Our doctrine is right. The Word of God is pure. We are part of the chosen. We are the called. We are the redeemed. We are the people of God. Settle it in your heart that what we believe is right and we will not change. Stand. Settle your faith. Not only that, they had a strong faith. Verse 17. And our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from a burning fiery furnace. Oh, listen to me. Don't you love the our God is able faith? He's able to deliver us. I read in my Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the army of the aliens whose women received their dead raised to life again. Listen to me. I read those and I say, sign me up. Sign me up. Our God is able. Our God is able to stand with one man with a sword in his hand to fight over a parcel of ground. And our God is able to have one man conquer and valiantly triumph. Listen to me. Our God is able. It is a strong faith. A strong faith. Our God is able. They had a settled faith. They had a strong faith. Why do they shine so bright? Because they had a steadfast faith. You see, I didn't read the whole passage of Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 11, we love that part. Quenching the mouth, stopping the mouths of lions, turning to flight the army of the aliens. Women receive their dead, raised alive. Sign me up. What glory. But then the Bible says, and others. And others were tortured. Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves. Listen to me, as the people of God in ages gone by have faced the stake and have faced the guillotine and faced the prison and faced exile and faced the boiling oil and faced the hollow log and being sawn in half, they had a steadfast faith in the face of adversity and death. They would not waver. They were persuaded that neither height nor depth nor principalities, nothing was going to move them. As the days get darker, we must shine brighter. Listen to me. It's a faith, a steadfast faith. It's not as much of receiving from God. Faith is not about receiving from God what you desire, as much as accepting from God what He desires. If God has put you in a place, you stand. Having done all to stand. Now here we go. We're going to close with this. As the end gets closer, the days will get darker. But when the days get darker, the saints shine brighter. Number three, when the saints shine brighter, the world sees clearer. The world sees clearer. Verse number 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and having no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Listen to me, friend, listen to me. Jesus did not come to get you out of trouble. He came to get in trouble with you. Listen, when Paul was in the prison, Jesus was there. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, exiled and burned and disfigured and alone and rejected, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he saw Jesus shining in glory. Jesus came to get in trouble with you. Go back to your country. It may be dark, it may be hard, and Satan may have a kingdom and a grip, but listen to me, you go and shine, and Jesus will go with you. He'll go with you. But you see, listen to me. One of the reasons why God puts us in the fire is for the cleansing of the saints. I want you to notice something back in Daniel chapter 3. Look, if you will, please. In verse number 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. And come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Now listen to me very carefully. They came out of the midst of the fire, and verse 27 says, and the princes, governors, and captors, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Neither was an hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Let me tell you what happened, friend. The fire didn't burn their hair. It couldn't touch their bodies. There was not even the smell of smoke on them. The only thing that the fire burned off of them was what the world had put on them. The ropes that they had been bound in, the fire burned it off. Oftentimes God needs to put us in the fire so He can break us and He can purify us and He can cleanse us. One of the reasons why America is in darkness today and the gospel light is being quenched is because the saints of God are living in pleasure and they're living for the world and they're living for self, and the preachers are trying to build their own kingdom and they're trying to exalt themselves. Listen to me, it's about time that God's people got alone with God and we spent some time and we just got clean and we got pure and we got right and we became holy before God, washed in the blood of Christ, standing redeemed, standing confident in Jesus. It's time to get clean. Some of us need to go through the fire to burn off what the world's put on us. I'll tell you what else happened in the fire. Not only the cleansing of the saints, but the company of the Savior. Oh, listen. And He walks with me and He talks with me. Some may say, I'm the only one in my city. Oh, no. Jesus is there too. I'm the only one in my province. No, the blessed Son of God, He'll go with me all the way. The company of the Savior. And let me say lastly, listen very carefully. When the days get darker, the saints shine brighter. And when the saints shine, because we're clean And the saints shine because there's Jesus in his presence. Let me tell you, friend, that brings the conviction of the sinner. The conviction of the sinner. And Nebuchadnezzar in verse 28 spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." Oh, how the world needs to see today some clean saints who can go through the fires and walk with Jesus, and Jesus can be seen, and we drowned out in the fire, and Christ is exalted, so that the heathen, the idol worshippers, the ungodly, the arrogant, the proud can fall before us and say, "There is only one God, and it's the God of the missionary. It's the God of the Christian." I want to call you today, friend. I want to challenge you today. Let's shake the 1040 window with an earthquake. Not of programs, not of schemes, not of agenda, not of self-promotion, but let's shake Asia for Christ with clean and pure and consecrated and godly men and women with a fire for Christ in us that keeps us clean and keeps us right and lets Jesus shine in the darkness, and he is seen by the unsaved and conviction comes and glory falls and nations are turned to Christ. Having done all to stand.